Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is February 4th, 2015. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing up at 17,673, the NASDAQ down at 4716, and the S&P also a little bit lower at 2041. Last week, we talked about legal considerations in every aspect of your life with attorney Gladys Wiles. I thank her for being here. Tonight, I have another attorney guest, and we're going to welcome attorney Judith Harris from Norris, McLaughlin, and Marcus as we discuss the changes in the Pennsylvania power of attorney provisions and how this may be the most important document you have. It does not get enough attention. So, listeners, I hope you stay tuned tonight. It's going to be a great show. Really important information for you. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening, and she'll answer your calls, take your information, ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay, and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and we will do our best to answer them. The phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And email is available as well through yourfinancialchoices.com. As an introduction to our guest this evening, Judith Harris is a member of the firm and chair of the Pennsylvania Office of Estate Trust and Tax Practice Group. She has over 28 years of experience in the areas of taxation, wills and trusts, and estate administration. She graduated from Bryn Mawr College and went on to American University Washington College of Law for her JD and Villanova University School of Law for her LLM in taxation. Judith's practice also includes representation of businesses, charitable trusts and foundations, and representation of estates, trusts, and beneficiaries in disputes before the Orphans Court. Judith has served as a board member of many local organizations, including the Allentown Symphony, the PA Shakespeare Festival, and the Fund to Benefit Children and Youth. And she has been a frequent guest on this show. So welcome back, Judy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Laurie. It's always a pleasure to join you. And I also like to listen to your show when I'm not with you here in the studio.
Thank you very much. So I gave a little intro about really your professional career. Do you want to share anything with the listeners to help them get to know you a little bit before we delve into the power of attorney topic?
Well, I guess I would say only I'm a local product, born and raised in Allentown. I have the pleasure of being a partner in the Pennsylvania office of Norris, McLaughlin, and Marcus. We're a full-service business law firm handling all different kinds of things in Allentown, in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and in Manhattan, New York. So I'm here in Allentown, and I love what I do, and every day is different and exhilarating and fun, so I'm happy to be here to talk about the new law.
That's great. And Judy and I get very excited about these topics. And I think folks who are listening, why we get excited is because it's how we then help you. And bringing this information to our listeners about these changes, you may not have been aware of them. So luckily, we have Judy here to talk about the new provisions in the Pennsylvania statute regarding power of attorney. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. If you do have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So tonight we're talking about recent changes in the power of attorney statute. So let's start talking about why it's important that we talk about powers of attorney at all.
Certainly. You know, typically in an estate plan, when I'm doing planning for clients, we talk about the will, we talk about living wills for end of life, medical care. But the power of attorney is a very important component of this. The power of attorney document is a necessary component of everyone's estate plan because it's the document whereby you designate one or more persons to be able to act on your behalf with regard to financial, legal, and personal and health care matters if you are still alive but for some reason unable to act on your own. I tell my clients that in many respects this is the most powerful legal document they will ever sign. In my 28 years of practice, I've observed that we're living longer as a population. The mind and the body don't necessarily age or progress in the same rate or fashion, and it's not unusual for someone who might be elderly to become unwilling or unable to handle all of his or her financial, legal, or healthcare decision making. A well-drafted power of attorney document allows us to appoint one or more agents, as we call them, people whom we trust, whom we appoint to handle these matters for us. Some of my clients appoint one person to handle these matters, whether financial, legal, or healthcare related. Other clients appoint certain persons to handle financial and legal matters, and quite another person or persons to make healthcare decisions. Either approach is fine so that it's done correctly and completely according to the law, and the law that became effective January 1st of this year, 2015, applies primarily but not exclusively to powers of attorney that include financial and legal powers. The statute is less applicable to healthcare powers of attorney, although we can lump them all together in one document.
Okay. So when we're talking about power of attorney, as you've mentioned, you said financial and then health, those can be separated, but in particular, the statute is covering more of the financial. So we're going to concentrate a bit of on that tonight. If folks have questions about either kind of power of attorney, a regular, you know, your durable power of attorney, or the health directives, we'll take questions on those as well. The phone number is 610-758-8810. But let's talk a minute more about power and how the power of attorney does give folks a lot of power. And I looked through the statute a little bit, and I saw something that was called the notice provision. So can we talk about what that means?
Certainly, Lori. First, allow me to define one or two terms.
Okay.
The person creating the power of attorney document is called the principal. The person or persons whom the principal appoints to serve under the power of attorney is called an agent or agents, okay? Principal mm-hmm. and agents. And so the new law, and the prior law said this too, but the new law has expanded upon it. The statute says that the front page of any power of attorney that includes financial or legal powers must include certain magic language in all capital letters. It serves as a notice to the principal of the significance of the document which the principal is signing. I call it consumer protection language. Okay. Mm-hmm. The notice reminds the principal, the person signing it, that the power of attorney does not impose a duty on the agent does not impose a duty on the agent to exercise the granted powers, but when the powers are exercised, the agent must exercise them with due care.
Mm-hmm.
So these are powers. Once the power of attorney is signed, the agent can act for the principal whether or not the principal is incapacitated,
mm-hmm.
and the principal is allowed to grant broad authority on the agent, including, among other things, the power to make gifts of all of the principal's assets. So this notice is not meant to scare the principal, but merely to, this is evidence that the principal was advised of the significance of this powerful document. A court can take away the agent's power if the agent is abusing the power, and that's listed in the notice.
Mm-hmm.
And the notice suggests that the principal seek the advice of an attorney to make sure he or she, the principal, understands the significance of what the principal is signing. The principal then signs and dates that page, that first page at the end of the notice.
Okay, so this is really, again, another case for why you really should be working with an attorney for the power of attorney, because there is so much power given in that document, and we want to make sure that our principal, the person signing and giving that power to someone, really understands all the implications of that. Because if they're not working with an attorney, someone might just say, here, sign it. It's just the regular power of attorney. But I imagine an attorney has gone through the document with the principal saying, okay, how much power do you want to give here, there? You know, because there would be certain restrictions, which we'll talk about as we go through the show, some of the powers that you can actually probably control a little bit. So, for example, you had said one thing. You had said that the notice, the principal is signing off saying, you know, that this may mean they could gift away all my assets. But could a principal limit what you're giving the agent power to gift?
Absolutely.
Okay. So as we go through the show, folks, we're going to talk about that. But if you're doing powers of attorney, oops, I'm running long. If you're doing powers of attorney, this is the one of the most powerful and important documents you have. I'm glad we're doing this show. You need to pay attention. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll take the question that we had come in off air when I come back from the break. Thanks.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Robert Siegel, host of NPR's All Things Considered, and I'm taking this opportunity to congratulate WDIY as it celebrates 20 years serving the Lehigh Valley. I also want to congratulate the Lehigh Valley for supporting WDIY for the last two decades. Your source for All Things Considered, Morning Edition, locally produced programs, and hand-picked music programs that you won't find anywhere else in the Lehigh Valley. Help WDIY celebrate another 20 years on the air. Visit WDIY.org. Thanks.
We are back. We are talking about the Pennsylvania Power of Attorney statute and some changes that are effective January 1st, 2015. So we want to make sure that we alert folks that there are some changes. And we're going to talk about what happens if you have an existing power of attorney, how that's going to impact you. If you don't have a power of attorney, you're going to want to make sure you work with an attorney who understands the new provisions and helps you understand what you're signing and the power that is given in a power of attorney. Very important document. We did have a call come in before the break, and it was from Ted. Ted, you asked, if you have an early withdrawal of a 401k, is that taxable by local and Pennsylvania or just federal? And Ted, I am going to have to make a couple assumptions. Early withdrawal of a 401k typically means, you know, pre-age 59 and a half. Otherwise, you might be subject to penalty for early withdrawal. If you terminate from employment at age 55 or you're 55 by December 31st and take a withdrawal, there could be an exception to that 10% penalty if you take money out of the 401k. That doesn't apply to IRAs. So is it taxable? It's going to be income taxable for federal purposes. And for state and local, I would, for Pennsylvania, it is not going to be income taxable. Local only taxes earned income. Okay, so the only issue I want to be careful, we always have to be careful when we're talking about kind of these broad topics on the show when there's not all the details. You have to be careful if you're someone who's taking money out of an IRA, early withdrawal, there could be some taxation to Pennsylvania on earnings in excess of your basis. But that's a little bit more complicated than we're going to get into tonight, but I hope that helps. So I wouldn't expect it to be taxable for Pennsylvania, definitely not local, and yes, it would be income taxable for federal, subject to 10% penalty if you don't have an exception to the early withdrawal penalty. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We have in the studio with me this evening Attorney Judith Harris from Norris McLaughlin and Marcus, and we are talking about a Pennsylvania power of attorney, the new provisions as of January 1st. We just went over the powers that someone can give in a power of attorney, and in particular, the financial powers that are so, could really, you know, have a huge impact on you in your elderly years, or it could even be a young person who loses capacity. So lots of powers. We talked about the principal is the person who's giving the power away. They have a document, they have provisions, which we'll go over in a little bit. But now we have to make sure that the principal understands what they're signing. There is a notice provision, and they say, yes, I understand what I'm signing. The person, Judy, who's going to become the agent, do they have a similar provision where they have to sign off understanding the responsibility that they're accepting?
Yes, indeed, Laurie, they do. Excellent question. Each agent who's appointed under the power of attorney must acknowledge that he or she has read the attached document, the power of attorney, is the person identified as the agent, or agents if there's more than one, and acknowledges that the agent will act in accordance with the principal's reasonable expectations to the extent actually known by the agent, and also will act in the principal's best interest, act in good faith, and only within the scope of authority granted to the agent by the principal. I've pretty much summed up in this notice the basic duties, the mandatory duties set forth by Pennsylvania law. The agent should sign this at some point before accepting service, before actually serving. Sometimes I have clients ask, I signed this document today. Does my agent have to sign it immediately? And my answer is no, not until it's time for the agent to step in.
Okay. So they may have the attorney hold the power of attorney document?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Okay. So, and then at that time, if the agents needed, you would call them in at that time, you would go through the document, and then they might wait to sign their acknowledgement.
Right. It's usually a convenience thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's a good idea, though, to have those conversations, you know, as part of the estate planning with your attorney as to, you know, whom you would like to serve in those capacity, and hope that they would be willing to follow all of those things. You had mentioned earlier, Judy, when you were talking about the notice provision and the principal is signing off understanding that they're giving away this power. And one of the comments you had said was, even if you're not necessarily incapacitated, okay? So back in the day, we used to talk about a power of attorney, and then we'd say, is it a durable power of attorney? And what we meant by that is, did the power of attorney work whether the person was incapacitated? You know, would it withstand that? And I don't know if it used to have to say that at the top or what, but the power of attorney provisions that have been updated, the statute for January 1st, 2015, has there been some change as to incapacity and whether the power of attorney can be used whether someone's incapacitated or not?
Laurie, more of those changes happened in the past. Okay. I'll just by way of a little bit of history. Now, we know that durability means that the power of attorney document will continue to be in effect even upon the incapacity or disability of the principal. In the olden days, a power of attorney document was not automatically durable, as you indicated. It was assumed that the power of attorney document would be in effect only so long as the principal had capacity. If the principal wanted the power of attorney to extend beyond the onset of his or her incapacity or disability, the document had to state that intention clearly in the document. Nowadays, under current law in Pennsylvania, every power of attorney is presumed to be durable. It should be noted that a principal can provide in the power of attorney document that the power can become effective at a specified future time or on the occurrence of a specified contingency. For example, some of my younger clients say, you know, I don't really feel comfortable appointing anybody right now to be my agent because I'm young and healthy, and I can't envision my incapacity. In that case, sometimes they're comfortable with my preparing a springing power of attorney for
Ooh.
Them. We appoint somebody, but that person cannot step in unless or until an attending physician declares my client in writing incapacitated.
Okay, springing power of attorney. I haven't heard that term before, so that's good to know. Folks, we're up to our next break. The show's going quickly. If you have questions, you're welcome to call live on air. We love callers to call live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. Judy Ann will take your question and bring it into the studio if you want it off air. Phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and I have as a guest this evening, attorney Judith Harris. We are talking about the Pennsylvania Power of Attorney, some new provisions that came out effective January 1st, 2015. And it's not just talking about folks for the new rules of having a power of attorney, but for anybody having a power of attorney, because we have strongly suggested it's one of the most important documents that you have, and we like you to have your estate planning documents anyway, let alone your power of attorney, which really gives your agent a lot of power to help kind of direct with your estate planning, etc. So we are talking. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We had a question come in, Judy, from Sharon. She asked, can you explain how the new law affects an existing power of attorney?
Excellent question, Sharon. There are a few parts to that answer. One of them is, And the general rule I'm going to cite here is, if you have a valid power of attorney in effect right now and you have not signed a new one since January 1st of 2015, the new requirements are not imposed on your power of attorney. So you're just fine until you sign a new power of attorney anytime after January 1st of this year going forward. So and if you do sign a new one, there are certain execution requirements. We just talked about the new improved notice in all caps on the first page. We finally, in our statute, require that there be two adult witnesses and a notary who witness and notarize the signature of the principal. We didn't used to have that. I know in my practice I've always had two witnesses and a notary, but now the law actually requires it, and they also say that the notary cannot also be a witness, and the witnesses cannot be the agent. The witnesses cannot be an interested party. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Is there more for Sharon?
Yeah. Then we get into the really substantive areas, Sharon. Now, once again, you don't have to, if you have a valid power of attorney that was in effect up to and through 2014. This will not necessarily cause you to sign a new one, but you might want to rethink this given where the law is headed. There are then all kinds of, basically I'll summarize this by saying that the legislature wants us to be much more specific in our power of attorney documents as to the actual powers we want to give our agents. Do we want to include the power, give them the power to make gifts of our assets, and how, and to whom? Do we want to give our agent the power to change our beneficiary designations of our retirement plans and our life insurance? Really heavy questions.
Yeah, and all good questions, too. We have another caller. We have Alan on line one. Alan, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Fine.
Good.
Is it Lori?
Yes, it is. And Judy's with
Lori,
me.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about the power of attorney for both myself and my son.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, I called. I think you were on with an attorney about estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a will, and both you and the attorney said, well, if nothing less, you should have a power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been thinking about that.
Good.
It became more immediate when my 95-year-old mother became hospitalized, and both my brother and sister are her power of attorney, and they're exercising that.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, I'm a widow, unmarried, I have an adult son. I believe I needed a power of attorney with him as my POA, and I'm thinking he should have one with me as his power of attorney. Mostly for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that's the case, if we should be both each other's powers of attorney. And now you're talking more about a little the financial aspects. Not really a concern of mine, but maybe it should be.
Okay. Let's see if Judy has some comments.
Okay.
Excellent questions, Alan. And, you know, every situation is different. But I think it's very good advice for you to have each of you to have a power of attorney. If you have
right.
a comfort level with appointing your son to handle, let's start with medical decision making. If you like the idea of him being there, not that he has to start making the decisions now, but if it's ever needed, you could appoint him in that capacity. If you feel comfortable giving him the power to have financial and legal powers to pay bills, what have you, if you should ever reach a point where you can't do it yourself, that's a good idea also, but I realize it's a different question. I also suggest to my clients, if they can, that they consider appointing a backup. If there's somebody in your world who fits that description, if not, that's okay too. But yes, I think you would be very wise to do this, because if you don't and you become disabled or incapacitated, it might be necessary to go to orphans court and initiate a guardianship proceeding and ask a judge to appoint your son or someone else as your guardian. And that's a very costly process going through the court system. It's not an insurmountable one, and the court is very helpful in that regard, but you could have avoided all of that by having a valid power of attorney document in effect.
Okay, and that's my real concern, you know, what if, and, you know, because if something happened to him, I couldn't go to the hospital and say, oh, please do this without the power of attorney, nor could he do the same for me.
It would not be as easy, let me tell you.
Right.
And there are a lot of decisions to be made for all of us in this world nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And you'll have a lot of comfort in moving forward and getting it done, Alan. You know, it's just, you don't have to worry then. You just get it done.
Right. And as I say, I see how much more efficient for my aged mother it is with my
right.
brother and sister right there making decisions
yeah.
and being depended on. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, great.
Right.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
I'm going to quit thinking about it and doing it.
There you go.
Bravo.
Thank you, Lori.
Great,
I appreciate
Alan.
Your help again.
Thank you so much. Have a good night. Folks,
bye.
If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air as Alan did, or off air as Sharon did. You can give your questions to Judy Ann and she'll bring it into the studio and we'll do our best to answer it, or if you're live on air, you can ask us directly. I do have in the studio with me this evening attorney Judy Harris, and she is from Norris McLaughlin and Marcus in Allentown in the Pennsylvania office, and we appreciate her being here, and we're going to continue our discussion about powers of attorney and delve a little bit deeper into some of the agent's duties that you can give through the power of attorney and talk about how you have the power now. Don't wait until you don't have the power. It could be the most important document you do. Questions? 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions this evening, we're talking about the power of attorney, one of the most important documents you can have in your estate planning documents. And it has a lot of power. So we want to make sure you understand it and have it, as I said earlier, before you don't have the power. So we had a call before we took our break from Alan, and he had asked about having a power of attorney and had even had a real life experience with his mother and his siblings exercising the power of attorney to help take care of their mother, who was, I believe, 95 years old. But it's not just for 95-year-olds, folks. This is for, you know, people practically at any age who have, you know, assets that need taking care of, who could be in an accident, who could have something happen to them. So you want to make sure you have that power of attorney document. I have with me in the studio this evening attorney Judy Harris from Norris McLaughlin and Marcus. And again, we're talking about powers of attorney. Judy, we had another call come in, and it came from Perlita. And she said, do a husband and wife need a power of attorney to be able to care for one another? A great question.
That really is a great question, because I think many of us assume, particularly because a lot of husbands and wives yeah. own jointly held assets. So, and you know, in a situation where most of their assets might be held jointly, they think, oh, why do I need a power of attorney if we own everything together? Well, in this world we live in, there are all kinds of decisions to be made. And when I tell you, so my answer to you, Perlita, is absolutely. I do more powers of attorney for spouses than I do for anyone else. And when I tell you that many of the changes to the current power of attorney, the new law, were prompted by a case called Vines versus Commonwealth, where a husband, while he was still married to a wife who became disabled, under a power of attorney he was given after she had a stroke, made some irrevocable decisions regarding her state retirement plan that really served to benefit him more than they benefited her, and they subsequently got divorced. When I tell you that it was a husband-wife situation that triggered most of these new amendments to the law, that should answer your question. So absolutely, that's very important, even though it might not seem as though it's important for spouses to appoint one another.
Right, and a little plug for having a will as well. Again, Judy and I love estate planning. So
does it show?
Yeah, we could talk about this stuff all night. I got so excited about this idea for the show tonight. But a plug for a will as well then, Judy, because so many people also think because they're married, they don't need a will, maybe because, oh, everything goes to my spouse. And they don't realize in Pennsylvania, not everything always goes to your spouse. So Perlita, while you're getting your power of attorney done, also make sure you have your will done. And typically we see that with estate planning attorneys. And there are attorneys who do more of this than, you know, I don't think you guys can say you have specialties, but certainly a concentration where you might have a general attorney who does a number of things. But when you go to an estate planning attorney, they're going to make sure that you have kind of checked off all the appropriate documents that you need. One of the things that Alan had mentioned, Judy, was that what really triggered him to start thinking about a power of attorney was really the health concerns, the health directives. And traditionally, those could have been two different documents. You have your advance health directives, and then you have your power of attorney. Now, there could have always been provisions for health directives within the power of attorney. Mm-hmm. Did the January 1st, 2015 change that? And if it didn't change that, can you let folks know how a power of attorney can include health directives as to Alan's question? Do they have to be separate?
Great question. No, they don't have to be separate. And I will tell you, lately, in the past several years, and I've been doing this for almost, 29 years, for years it seemed to me that clients wanted all the powers wrapped into one general power of attorney. It would contain financial powers, legal powers, and routine medical powers. Finding a place for, in Alan's example, for his siblings who have power of attorney, they could choose the place for their mother to live, et cetera, et cetera. Make decisions for her care, whatever. So I would say about 60 to 75% of my clients still like the idea of having all those powers wrapped into one general power of attorney document. And then I strongly suggest they have a living will document in addition that governs end-of-life medical decisions. About 20 to 30% of my clients decide they'd rather have the two documents split up, mainly because they might appoint certain people to handle financial and legal decision-making and actions for them under a financial power of attorney, and then they want different people as agents to handle medical healthcare decision-making, whether it be routine or end of life. So then in that case, I combine the healthcare power of attorney with the living will provisions.
Okay. Great. Let me mention the phone number again, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We take questions live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. So as we've gone through our discussion of power of attorney, we've discussed the new provision starting January 1st, the notice requirement in big bold letters so the principal knows what their power they're giving away. We've talked about the agent acknowledging that they're accepting this and that agent could, doesn't necessarily have to sign at the same time. It could be a little bit later. You even mentioned, Judy, a springing power of attorney where maybe someone doesn't necessarily want someone to be the power of attorney today, only maybe if they do become incapacitated, and there's ways that you can make that work as well. Let's talk a minute about some of the agent's duties. You've certainly referenced many of them tonight in our conversation already, but could we kind of talk specifically maybe about if any of the recent changes affected the typical duties we see under a power of attorney, or duties that you think need the most attention when someone's looking at a power of attorney that we don't want to, miss?
Okay.
The reason we have a power of attorney.
Laurie, I think there are three parts to that answer.
Okay.
The first part is, in addition to the mandatory duties I referenced earlier that an agent has, there are a few others I just want to mention. To act loyally for the principal's benefit. And traditionally, this loyalty duty included the duty to keep the principal's funds separate from the agent's, meaning no commingling. Well, that sounds like common sense, doesn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, one of the big changes in the new law is there's a clarification. In certain circumstances, the agent is allowed to commingle, if you will, his or her assets with those of the principal. And, you know, one of those situations is if the principal and the agent are married. Going back to Perlita's question, you know, plenty of husbands and wives and wives and wives and husbands have joint accounts. And, you know, why would you presume to do anything differently in that situation? Also, if you had a joint account with the principal before you were appointed as agent, the new law recognizes that it's okay as long as that account was joint before you were appointed agent. You can continue to hold that in that fashion. There's another we call that this issue regarding commingling a modifiable duty. You can put further instruction in your power of attorney document to state your wishes. I think you're getting the idea. The new world of powers of attorney in Pennsylvania is kind of like a Chinese menu. I mean, there are all kinds of options you have. And if you aren't educated on what your options are, you might not end up with a document you really need. Another duty that's really important under the new law is the agent's duty to attempt to preserve the principal's estate plan and to the extent actually known by the agent, if preserving the plan is consistent with the principal's best interest based on all the relevant factors. What does that mean? Well, more and more, I'm seeing an agent, maybe somebody is appointed as an agent, maybe not the same person who's appointed as executor under the will. And let's say the principal has lost capacity, so the principal can no longer validly sign another will. And the agent thinks, well, you know, I'm going to use my power to realign some of the assets. Maybe I'll take a distribution for the principal out of a retirement plan, or I'll take money out of an individual account and put it in a joint account. These are the powers that are very concerning. Now, the law has gone to great lengths to try to delineate when it's okay to do these things, if you're acting in good faith, if you're using care, competence, and diligence and acting reasonably. But, you know, you and I know enough about all the different assets that people own that somebody who was designing could use a power of attorney document as agent to undermine someone's estate plan. Mm-hmm. So one of those duties is to attempt to preserve the estate plan of the principal.
Okay. We have just another minute before our last break, and Perlita had called again, Judy, and she had asked now about a will. We talked about the powers of attorney being valid. Would a will still be valid if it was created when a child was young and now has become an adult? And then Perlita asked another question, which I could not quite read Judy's writing, which was, will she still get everything as originally probably was directed in the will? So just because a child changes age, does that affect a will that she would have had written?
Mm-hmm. And the child being, of course, a beneficiary under the will.
That's what I'm assuming
yes.
this must
and
have meant.
And Perlita, that's a good question. As long as the will was validly executed, when I say that, I mean validly signed. It's a valid will. The age of the beneficiary, the child, shouldn't matter. How the beneficiary receives the assets, and depending upon how the will was written, it might be the way the will was written in the past. The beneficiary was a minor and would have to have the assets held for him or her either in trust or by a parent or guardian. And if the beneficiary child is older now, it might be that the executor is free to distribute those funds outright, free of no strings attached, if you will, to the child beneficiary.
Okay. So, Perlita, I hope that helped. Folks, we are talking about powers of attorney tonight. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. When we come back, I want to talk about, is an agent protected, and how does an agent show that they're acting in the best interest of a principal, and how that might come under fire as well. So again, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I have with me in the studio attorney Judy Harris from Norris McLaughlin and Marcus, and we are talking about powers of attorney. We will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY Allentown. Lehigh Valley weather, 30 degrees with fair skies. Tonight, snow likely mainly after 4 a.m., cloudy with a low around 24. The outlook for Thursday, snow likely mainly before 10 a.m., mostly cloudy, with the temperature falling to around 19 by 5 p.m. The snow accumulation probably not more than an inch overnight and into the next day. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 24, and the outlook for Saturday, a slight chance of snow after 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 35.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening attorney Judy Harris from Norris McLaughlin and Marcus. And we're talking about powers of attorney. If you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. I know I talk fast a lot of times because there's always so much information I want to cram into this hour that we have. But I'll try to slow down for the phone number, 610-758-8810. 8810, and we can take questions live on air or off air. Judy, one of the questions I had is that, you know, a principal is giving away a lot of power, and they have to acknowledge and they understand what that means. And then an agent has to acknowledge that they are going to, you know, use due care and they understand the powers that have been given, etc. You still might have some unscrupulous powers of attorney, or you might have some family members who may think I should have had the power of attorney, and you know, sister got the power of attorney, and I don't think she's doing right by mom. So quite often you might have an agent who's in a position that they're not sure they want this responsibility, because you know, what if someone questions them? You know, what if they don't do things right? And I think some of, you know, what they should be doing is spelled out in the power of attorney. But are there any kind of protections for the agent that you know, do they have to worry so much if they really truly are acting in the best interest of the principal?
Well, let's explore that, because the law does provide protections to an agent who acts in good faith, with care, competence, and diligence for the best interest of the principal. What does that mean? Well, it generally means to get all the facts, make sure you understand what the assets are, what, you know, what your duties are in terms of perhaps having tax returns prepared, keeping records of all expenditures, receipts, disbursements, you know, keep good records. Don't feel you need to do all the work yourself. The law allows you as agent to delegate certain responsibilities to other people, usually other professionals, an investment advisor, a CPA, an attorney, you mm-hmm. know. Roofer to fix the roof of your house. Nobody expects the agent to do all the work himself or herself. And so the law says that if you act reasonably and in good faith in trying to accomplish all these tasks, even if it involves hiring others, that you are basically held, you are protected from liability. Now, so I can't emphasize enough, every situation is different. But document, document, document. Choose the best advisors you can. The other thing I should mention is, if you are an agent who has particular skill in a certain area, and this is a concept I see a lot in the law, where trusts or wills, executors, trustees, agents, guardians are concerned, when a fiduciary, somebody, in our case, we're talking about an agent, is hired to act with regard to a power of attorney for a principal, if that agent has particular skills in a certain area, it's fair to say that that agent is held to a pretty high standard in making sure that work on behalf of the principal in that area, it could be investing, it could be tax advice, it could be property management, that agent is held to almost to a higher bit of a standard given mm-hmm. those special skills.
Mm-hmm.
But the law really does try to protect agents who act properly.
Now, you know, there are some folks out there who are maybe very independent, maybe didn't have families, or they're the last survivor of a family, and they may not have someone that they feel, you know, that they could trust necessarily in this regard, or they're very, very private and don't want someone to know. How often can an attorney act as a power of attorney for someone in that case? I've heard some attorneys say, oh, no, we don't do that. But if someone doesn't have anyone, is that an option?
It is possible, Laurie. I think a lot of us attorneys view it as a choice of last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's preferable that a spouse or a trusted family member, a trusted advisor can handle that. I know sometimes I've seen situations where investment advisors need special clearance from an affiliate.
Because there's conflicts.
Because there's the potential for a conflict of interest. But, you know, I've handled situations myself in which it was somebody I knew well, and it was really the only option, and the client wanted it. And I prefer to act in conjunction. I prefer to advise the agent and the principal. But every situation is different, and people are living longer, and the children don't always live in the same town anymore. Although mm-hmm. that should not be a bar to appointing a good person as agent.
Mm-hmm.
I've had agents who live in Thailand.
Well, especially if they can engage advisors.
Absolutely.
Who might be local mm-hmm. or you know, helpmates or, you know, senior caregivers or whatever.
Exactly.
How about if someone suspects or is nervous about someone abusing the power of attorney? Is there something that an outsider could do? Like, what would they do? If I thought, you know, Joe Blow was not acting in the best interest of Mama, is there something we can do? Because how would we even know who the attorney is to go, you know, contact who might have drafted the original power of attorney? Is there anything that we can do for folks that we might be a little nervous? And I don't want to cause a rash of people, you know, reporting on other people, but, you know, is there something they can do?
Possibly. Okay. And let me start by saying that, you know, not just anybody is entitled to specific information regarding the actions of the agent under power of attorney. I get that question a lot by a third cousin, you know, I don't think the agent's doing a good job. I want to see the checkbook. Well, unless you're in a fiduciary position for the principal while living, or the executor for the principal's estate once deceased, or a guardian or conservator of some kind for the principal, you probably don't have the legal standing to do that. By the same token, if you suspect something really bad is happening and you're just a concerned neighbor or friend or family member who's not in a fiduciary situation, I've had clients ask me this. I've had people I know if it's an elderly person who's the principal, call the Agency on Aging in the county, and they will do an investigation. And, you know, sometimes everything's fine, and it was just somebody who was unnecessarily concerned or, you know, what have you. And other times the agency might find that something's being abused.
Okay, and the Agency on Aging can come in and really check on things.
Yes,
they have
and
that
that's
power.
Obviously for an elderly person.
Okay, we have a call on line one. Carolyn, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in. You have a question.
Yes, it's about if you have a power of attorney, someone that will be handling the money of your estate, and also in our situation, we're looking at somebody else handling more of the medical decisions. These are very big responsibilities, and I feel strongly that we would like to have these people compensated for this. Would it be a certain percent of the estate? Is there some kind of rule of thumb on that, or a set amount, depending on the amount of the estate? How does that work?
Or even if you see it, Judy, do you see powers of attorney getting compensated? Okay. This is a great question,
Carolyn. I can't thank you enough for answering, asking this question. It's really one that doesn't get asked a lot.
Oh, my pleasure.
The answer is the law says that in the absence of other specification, other instruction in the power of attorney document, an agent is entitled to reasonable compensation for his or her services based on what he or she had to do. I will tell you, in almost 29 years of doing this, most of the time, the people I know who are serving as agents are related, have a very close relationship with the principal, and say, I know I'm entitled to compensation, but I don't want anything. Or, I know I'm entitled to compensation, but I had to take off 3 weeks of work in August to clean, you know, to go through things, to assume my duties as agent, so I wouldn't mind being compensated for that. And we look to the situation and the work involved, and sometimes at what a reasonable hourly rate would be. Every situation's different. Sometimes people just want reimbursement for their mileage, or, you know, 4 trips to Colorado or what have you. Every situation's different. What I would guard against is trying to state compensation in the document in a pecuniary, in an amount kind of way, just because over time the value of the dollar and the nature of the services might change. So we never like to lock into some kind of restriction that might come back to haunt the principal or the agent, or cause the agent not to want to serve in the future.
Yeah, so just a clause of reasonable compensation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does that help, Carolyn?
Yes, it does.
I think that's great, and that shows your sweet personality for thinking of your agent. That's very nice of you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Good night.
Good night. That was a great question. I'm glad we covered that really quickly, Judy, because we have about 3 minutes and I want to be able to kind of give some information at the end. But really quickly, I wanted to ask about sometimes people will have powers of attorney and a bank won't accept it, or, you know, that's the whole point. I get so frustrated because you have attorneys draft these powers of attorney and then you have a bank or a trust company or a brokerage firm saying, oh, no, that's not good enough. Does it make a difference if you record the power of attorney? I think I saw that in the statute. Can you, recording the power of attorney with the clerk of the orphans court, would that make that document more valid than not recording it? Does it make any difference?
No, and it's not necessary, although it's not a bad thing. It's unnecessary because, and thank you for mentioning this, Laurie, because it's one big change in the law. I think a lot of us were frustrated that every institution had its own favorite. You know, I'd just gotten through doing all the planning for this attorney, and suddenly I'm told a bank or a brokerage house won't accept the power of attorney. The law specifically says now that the power of attorney the client signed is sufficient.
Yay. So we could tell the brokerage firm or the bank or whatever, this is sufficient.
Right. And
that's the whole point of having it.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can provide a copy to that institution. If they would like a certification from the attorney that it's still valid, that's perfectly proper to ask for.
Okay,
that.
Great. And the attorneys document that, and then you can send that in. Judy, we're almost out of time. I think this is a very important subject. I think the power of attorney is a very important document. Folks who haven't done estate planning, you need to do that. Any last words, and then tell people how they can contact you.
Okay. My last words would be, everyone needs one of these documents. The law has really become very complex, but it's, keep in mind, it's being done in a way to protect each of us as the world changes and we live longer. And keep in mind that I really encourage clients to think about whether they want to include some of those hot powers, and what we call hot powers in the new law. Do you want your agent to have the ability to make gifts of your assets while you're alive to other people, to be able to change your retirement plan beneficiary designations or your life insurance beneficiary designations? We need to know a lot from you, the client, as to what your wishes are, so we can carry them out if you become disabled or incapacitated.
Great. Keep the power. Judy, how do people reach you? Your phone number?
Yes, indeed. My number at Norris McLaughlin and Marcus is 610-391-1800.
610-391-1800. And your website is N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, M as in Mary.
LAW.com. N-M-M, Nancy Mary Mary, LAW.com.
Okay. Thanks so much for being here, Judy. It was a great show. Next week, we have Don Hernandez and Omar Zuko representing the American Heart Association, Go Red for Women, a cause I strongly support. So I hope listeners stay tuned because we're going to talk about protecting your most important asset and charitable giving. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thank you, Neil, for being here. Make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.